A 300-page study released today looking to answer the question, what caused the church sex abuse crisis, is already raising eyebrows. Produced by the John Jay College of Criminal Justice and commissioned by U.S. Catholic bishops, it challenges assumptions on all sides that abusive priests were largely pedophiles or largely homosexual or abused because they were celibate. Instead, the study says it was poor seminary training and insufficient psychological support for priests facing the upheavals of the 1960s, or as the New York Times says, Woodstock made me do it. David Gibson has long written about religion. He's a syndicated columnist with the Religion News Service and got an exclusive advanced look at this report. So, David, start with the report's claim, flatly, as you write, that priest abusers were not pedophile priests. How can it be that grown men who abuse children aren't pedophiles?
Well, I think it's a lot about the definitions. I think there's a common misperception of really what a pedophile is and what a child abuser is. I think, you know, a pedophile is a real psychological pathology that very few even child molesters in the wider public have. It's someone who's really specifically and only attracted to prepubescent children, girls or boys. And a minority of these, a small minority of these priests who abused actually fit that profile. Now, there's also, however, a controversy in terms of the way the John Jay criminology researchers defined pedophilia, saying that it was exclusively preying on multiple victims below the age of 11. Some would say, well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, there are 13-year-olds who haven't gone through puberty and would be considered young children.
Well, as a matter of fact, the American Psychiatric Association defines a child as under 13. That would be many more cases. It would seem that would skew their numbers.
A little bit, it would. And in fact, there's going to be a lot of follow-up debate about that and some challenging. This study needs to be really peer-reviewed.
Well, let's look at something else the researchers found. No statistical evidence that gay priests were more likely to abuse minors than straight priests, something conservative Catholics had claimed.
Yes, that's really been a talking point for a lot of people. For one reason, it's because there's a disproportionate number of boys who were victims of these abusive priests over the decades, whereas in the wider society, you tend to find girls who are victims. So a lot of people assumed, okay, if a priest abuses a boy of whatever age, that's homosexuality. Well, they're saying it's not, that these were crimes very often of opportunity. These were crimes by men who'd had sexual relations before seminary or in seminary with women. Again, you know, it gets into that fraught area of sexuality. What is sexuality? Is it a spectrum? Is it a hard and fast category that we're all slotted into?
Right. Well, and in fact, they do say that the rise of the number of gay priests actually corresponds with the decreased incidence of abuse. But you mention opportunity, and that sort of collides with the next finding, because the researchers found there was no impact from celibacy requirements. And that doesn't seem to follow, because if, as you were just saying, more young men than young women were violated just because it was a matter of opportunity, they were available, wouldn't it follow that if priests had more opportunity in general for sanctioned sex, they wouldn't abuse at all?
No, I don't think so. It's not really just talking about sexual urges. It's talking about people who are, you know, well-trained, who are emotionally balanced people, who are prepared for a life of celibacy. I mean, the reality is celibacy has been a norm in the Catholic Church for almost 1,000 years, and certainly over the last 50 years, and yet you have these spikes and these dips. And this isn't just about, you know, the urge to sleep with somebody. This is about, apart from the pathological pedophiles, this is about
abuse.
This is about, you know, immature men who are the same psychological age and emotional age as the 14-year-old they're sleeping with.
Well, and you mentioned the spikes of abuse, and one of them in the 60s, and the report concluded that these were priests who had been trained in earlier years and were not prepared, lost their way in the social cataclysm of the sexual revolution. This is bound to draw a lot of criticism.
Absolutely. I mean, people are going to say, oh, you're blaming it on the 60s, but the reality is you're also blaming it on the 40s and 50s, the sort of repressive, isolated seminary education back in those days. The thing is, the reality you have to see is when the bishops started introducing, ironically, many of the innovations of the 60s and 70s, psychological training, then abuse, you know, really dropped off sharply. it really is not just about the 60s. Look, everybody got overwhelmed by the 60s.
Well, one of the advocacy groups, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, is responding to the report by saying that it focused on the priests, and they wanted focus on what they call the callous bishops. What does the report say about bishops?
Well, the report says a lot about bishops, actually. I think I understand the outrage and the anger from many victim advocacy groups, but the report does have a detailed critique in a couple of chapters, at least, on the bishops and their response and their failure to respond. So, and also, very important and more importantly, is what the bishops need to do next, which is to adopt transparent, uniform policies. There are 285 bishops out there, Catholic bishops in the United States. 284 of them could be doing the right thing, but if one of them is not, that's one too many. Yeah. People are not in a forgiving mood.
Which is what brought one of our listeners, Deanie Good, to write on Facebook that he's disdainful of the report because it was commissioned by the bishops, and that's like Monsanto doing its own testing to determine that GMOs are safe for human consumption, according to Deanie. So there's that reaction to the report as well.
They put this out. This proposal out to various expert places, and the John Jay College is, you know, the gold standard of criminology. And it's really hard to believe that they would be kind of, you know, bought and paid for by the bishops. I don't think that's really that credible. I think that the report will stand or fall on its own merits, and that we should look at that.
Religion columnist David Gibson, he's also author of The Rule of Benedict, Pope Benedict XVI and His Battle with the Modern World, commenting on today's report commissioned by U.S. bishops on the church sex abuse crisis. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.